Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Mommy's the word, but we're telling everyone. It's BOGO 50% off time at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Just in time for Mother's Day, buy any pair of shoes, get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Treat mom or yourself to the perfect spring styles from must-own brands. And hurry. Unlike a mother's love, this deal won't last forever. So make mom proud and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, welcome in on this first day of May. Happy that you're with us this morning. It is a little windy out there, a little bit of humidity in the air as you head out the door this morning. Temperature's what, I think around 65, something like that. So not a bad day. And it looks like most of the rain has stopped. I think we're expecting a chance of some more sprinkles on and off throughout the course of the day, but should be all right. Sue, we'll have the latest on your traffic for you coming up here shortly. This hour, we're going to get to Tom Ackerman. We'll talk more about the Blues' road loss again. They cannot seem to figure out how to win in Winnipeg, and Winnipeg can't seem to figure out how to win here. Now, that's bad news for us, right? Because they come back here, and then we have to go back.
Right.
Assuming we win, we have to go back there. So we'll see what happens for the Blues. Tom will have the latest on that. Any Cardinal news that's going on. And an interesting development in college sports and how they deal with this NIL stuff and contracts and all that. We'll talk that over with Tommy at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, we've got our friend Jim Talent, former senator. Want to, of course, pick his brain on what's going on here with the Senate trying to overturn the tariffs. Now, they failed, but it's making a headline this morning. Chuck Schumer falls just short of stopping Donald Trump's tariffs. Well, no, he didn't. Three turncoat Republicans, including surprisingly Rand Paul, but not surprisingly Lisa Murkowski, voted with the Democrats to try to stop the president from balancing trade with the world. And, of course, J.D. Vance came in. There were a couple Democrats missing. It might have been a little closer. There were a couple Democrats missing. But it wouldn't have mattered because it would have failed in the House. This was never going anywhere. It was just grandstanding on the part of these folks. And we'll kick that around with Jim Talent coming up in the next hour. That's kind of where things are in D.C. right now, aren't they? It's crazy. Kamala Harris
it
out.
It always is.
Kamala Harris out speaking last night. In more word salad, she chose the 100th day of Trump's administration to come out firing again, to revive her political career.
I just want to know what her plan is. There's no way she runs for president. Tim Walz, by the way, claims to have ruled out a run, but certainly she'll be doing something. I know the idea has been that she would run for governor of California, assuming that Gavin Newsom runs for president, which I don't think he would win.
Nothing they do in California surprises me. If they're dumb enough to elect her, you know, what can you do? I've given up on California. They ought to just fence it off, like Escape from L.A., the whole state.
Let it float off into the ocean.
Let the last person out, the last American out, bring the flag and just fence the rest of it off. Be some valuable prison area out there.
It's so I have relatives out there. It's so beautiful. It's just such a shame that it's just such a
mess.
Yeah,
but it's up and down the West Coast. How did that happen? You have to ask yourself, How did all that assorted group of fruits and nuts gather in one place?
You're talking about that there's people who were super liberal on the West Coast and the East Coast?
Well, yeah, but it's worse on the West Coast.
It is worse on the I was just going to say, please tell me. Yeah, I absolutely
agree.
Top to
bottom.
It's worse.
Top to bottom on the West Coast. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't think that, what are the conservative parts of California? Didn't you say the other day
there are
pockets?
There are pockets around San Diego and Orange County, and there are several pockets out there that have Republicans in them. I mean, was it Schwarzenegger, the last so-called Republican that got elected in California? I think. I mean, it's not been that long. It's not been that long ago since they elected a Republican governor, but I don't think it'll ever happen again.
No.
Never.
No.
Unfortunately, I feel like the state of Illinois is never going to go that way again.
You know how I watch all those Charlie Kirk debates with college students? It was so funny because this woman, they were talking about, you know, you need to use someone's pronouns and things like that. And she's like, we've changed as a society. Things have evolved, you know, it's the kind thing to do. And he's like, you know, we talk about change a lot and we're making progress, but no one ever talks about how sometimes that progress is a regression, that sometimes that change, that progress is a bad thing. We just always think of, oh, well, that's a good change. Not necessarily.
Thank you.
In this case, it's not.
I love watching those as well.
Oh, I feel smarter watching them because he has the best, like he was talking about the abortion and he was saying, why do we not have something called a fetus shower? Why is it called a baby shower? It makes you think, like, oh, you're right. We would never call it I'm going to a fetus shower.
Yeah.
But everyone wants to use that term when they're trying to defend why a woman should be able to do that.
Not all progress is good progress. A little later, we'll talk about a little situation that's developed out in the Rockwood School District. Apparently, they're going to have a vote on it tonight, in fact. Apparently, they're about to hire a dude who dresses like a woman to be their counselor at an elementary school.
Oh, I didn't know it was an elementary school.
Well, let me double check that. I'm pretty sure it is.
I believe you, but it just makes me even sadder.
What is the role? Are we so politically correct that we can't just say no? A Wild Horse Elementary School is where this person is about to be hired. It's on the board agenda for tonight. There are, 10 or 11 people that are going to be voted on in a block tonight. So the hiring decision has already been made. This person's going to make $63,000 a year and counsel your child on right and wrong. That's interesting.
Well, bigger concern would be if someone's questioning their sexuality or questioning something, their
gender. In
elementary school, because apparently it starts then, this counselor would be affirming them and not telling the parents like they should
potentially
be.
Potentially,
That's the biggest
I think
concern
it's a,
for
it's
me.
A, it's a big, mm-hmm. If you're in the Rockwood District, you've got what you voted for. You got what you voted for. You've run off any common sense on the school board out there, and you've hired liberal educators and administrators, and this is what you voted for. So now your kids will go to school and face that problem every day. Coming up, we'll get to Ryan Schmelz in a few minutes. We'll talk more about what's going on with the SALT, the state and local tax issue on this reconciliation bill. Doesn't seem like a big deal to us, but it's probably a big deal to the people in Illinois and other places. Like if you're in Missouri, you don't have as big an issue with it. If you're in a high tax state, it's more of an issue, and I don't know how they're going to deal with it. It got limited during the last tax deal that they did in 2017, the one that's about to expire. So we'll get to all that for you. Right now, Ethan, let's pull up our top stories here, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Banding together in the face of the greatest man-made economic crisis in modern presidential history.
Now, isn't that a little sexist on the part of Kamala Harris to blame that on a man?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Okay, think she could define a man? I'm
not
just saying.
Not a chance.
Probably not.
Well, I think I will be a great unifier. That's what I want to be, and it's very important to me. We had 11,888 murderers. Many of these people killed more than one person. More than 50% of them killed more than one person. We got to get them out of their country. I don't know if that's unity or disunity.
Yeah, thank you. President Trump on the Newsmax town hall last night, which, of course, we carried here on 97.1 FM Talk for you, going sideways on him with this whole issue.
We had an office in the Department of State whose job it was to censor Americans. And by the way, I'm not going to say who it is. I'll leave it up to them. There's at least one person at this table today who had a dossier in that building of social media posts to identify them as purveyors of disinformation. We have these dossiers. We are going to be turning those over to these individuals.
Was it me or Elon?
Wow. Yeah, was it me or Elon, says J.D. Vance. Good question, Marco Rubio. Here we go. We're going right down the path of England where they're locking people up because they don't like their social media posts.
No, you can't. You can't say it's in the budget. There's a Medicaid cut when there isn't.
Don't you miss that voice? Sometimes I do. Remember Bill O'Reilly, of course, from Fox, and I think he's still got a podcast or something out there that he does now. But I haven't heard much from him lately. And he was on this Newsmax town hall last night with Stephen Smith and Chris Cuomo. And they interviewed the President Trump, and they also had James Carville on there. I don't know why. Carville's on there spewing his lies about the Republicans going to cut Medicaid. Republicans going to cut Medicaid. And finally, Bill O'Reilly just exploded at him and said, stop lying. You can't get away with this. It was a beautiful Bill O'Reilly moment. Listen.
No, you can't. You can't say it's in the budget. There's a Medicaid cut when there isn't.
Excuse me for interrupting me.
I am. This is ridiculous. And he does it every night.
Can I make a point?
Yes, go ahead.
He was going to end the Ukraine war on day one.
Oh, come on. Oh, it's absurd. What did Biden do for 4 years in there? Nothing.
He's driving me nuts. I love that interaction. I thought they were going to go at it there for a few minutes. That's pretty good. All right. Quick break here. We will get to Ryan Schmelz when we come back. We'll talk more about what they're doing in D.C. on this budget. And can they pass it by Memorial Day or the 4th of July? We'll be right back. Ask Ethan, what am I listening to here? And he tells me,
it's the Jonas Brothers.
Mark's like, I love this song so much. Who am I listening to so I can play it on my way home?
Not exactly how
that's
that
what I heard.
That is not exactly how that went down. It's a birthday or something?
Yeah, it's one of the Jonas Brothers' birthdays.
I mean, I remember when they were like little and cute. Why are they still singing? Like that was 20 years ago. All right. Okay. All right.
When they were little and cute.
I quit listening.
I like to keep
music.
You on your toes, Mark.
I quit listening to music in the mid '90s. So just so you know that, I might not recognize it. Let's get to Ryan Schmelz of Fox News Radio. Ryan, good morning to you.
I always knew you were a Jonas Brothers fan.
Yeah, highly unlikely for sure. In fact, I think I met one of them one time when they were in town for some reason.
When you were at their concert?
No,
front row.
No, that's not true. That's funny. Hey, Ryan, we were talking with, who did we have on? Congressman Bost yesterday about this reconciliation bill that they're still kicking around. So what is the issue? What are they trying to do? Is it the state and local tax deduction that's at issue here? Some people want to raise it again.
That's one of the big ones. Yes. The Republicans from blue states like New York, New Jersey, California, they want an expansion of the state and local tax deduction, but Republicans from red states aren't really big fans of that because they feel it's a subsidization of high tax states from the federal government. But when you can only afford to lose maybe one or two other Republicans on this bill, you're going to need everybody on board to get this passed. So they've got to make some type of compromise here. And I think another big worry from Republicans is going to be that if you do that, that eats up a lot of the $4.5 trillion in tax cuts you're pushing for. So, no taxes on tips, no tax on overtime. That might become a victim here.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but when they put this together, it has to be scored, right? And then if they make a cut, it has to be paid for, that sort of thing, over 10 years. But isn't the flaw in this logic that any time in the next 10 years, a different Congress and a different president could vote to change any of this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just a projection that's going to be, you know, possibly changed over time. It's just the reality of the situation. And I think the other thing that they're trying to figure out in terms of estimates is, you know, Medicaid reforms and what they're able to do. You know, Senator Josh Hawley has been very adamant that he's not going to vote for anything that cuts essential services to Medicaid, but he does support, you know, this idea of work requirements and utilizing that as a way to find savings in Medicaid. But, you know, he's not exactly been the most confident person with the House's estimates in terms of how much they think they can actually save on their work requirement strategy. So he's been one to, I think, really watch here as we go forward.
It seems like they keep pushing back when they're going to get this done. It was Memorial Day. Then I thought I heard it kicked back to July, and maybe I have the timelines messed up. But I mean, what happens if this just doesn't, they can't come up with an agreement? They can't decide on something.
They can keep pushing this back as long as they want. It really is there's no set timeline. I think they really just, they want to give President Trump something to kickstart the economy. They want to give him something to push his agenda forward. They feel like, you know, on the border and national security aspect of this, the money's running dry very quickly, and they want to be able to help out Tom Homan and Pete Hegseth as quickly as possible. And of course, you know, with the tax relief thing, you know, the Trump tax cuts don't expire until the end of the year, but they want to have something that's going to maybe kickstart the economy and get the ball rolling here.
Well, maybe though. I mean, Johnson talks with a lot of confidence. We've had Jason Smith on from the Ways and Means Committee earlier in the week. He talks with a lot of confidence, and then you hear media reports that that there's a lot of internal bickering. So I guess we'll see where it goes, Ryan.
Yeah, that's just the reality of the situation. You know, people want to get it, that they're still trying to put what's actually going to be in the bill together, and people want to get their agenda items through. So these are discussions that they're going to have, and they're probably going to be going on well up until that Memorial Day deadline that they've set for themselves.
All right. Ryan Schmelz, thanks.
Of course. Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Good to get Ryan on this morning. The state and local tax deduction thing, I'll just say it one more time. Of course, some of these blue state Republicans who are in the Senate or the House, if that exists, would like to do this for their constituents. But at the end of the day, the reason the people in the red states aren't sweating this is because they live in states where you don't ridiculously overtax those things to begin with. Mm-hmm. The liberal states have gotten away with raising those with the excuse, well, you get to deduct it off your taxes at the end of the year, so what are you complaining about? Now suddenly they can't, and they're realizing how those politicians have manipulated them over the years to raise their local taxes. It was like a wake-up call to them when suddenly that deduction got eliminated. Wow. All right, coming up, Tom Ackerman in studio, finding out what the Blues have got to do to win on the road. We'll be back.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchorlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Yeah, how about hockey, Tom Ackerman? Is that a hard sport? Because the Blues can't seem to figure it out on the road.
Well, neither can the Jets.
Well, true. I guess that's true. That's a good fair point.
They got their butts kicked.
But
in
that's
games
to their advantage, right? Because we St. Louis tomorrow, and then they go back to play Winnipeg.
Yeah. So I think the Blues are still in a good spot. I mean, they play well at home, and then Game 7, all bets are off. And at Game 7, I don't care where you play the game. So the Blues are in pretty good shape here still. I mean, this was a carbon copy, I thought, of Game 1, where the Blues only had 17 shots on Connor Hellebuck in Game 1. Last night, they only had 19. Winnipeg did a good job of playing well in front of him as best they could, and he let 3 goals in, but otherwise he made a huge save on Oscar Sundquist to kind of give them some momentum. And both teams hit the heck out of each other. I mean, it was a very physical first period, and the Blues just could not find ways to get to Hellebuck, basically. Defensively, the Blues were fine, but not great. Winnipeg's got some skill. Mark Scheifele, that's a concern for them. He got destroyed by Braden Schenn on a hit that kept him out of the game, actually. So he's their best scorer, I think. even better than Kyle Connor, who had the first goal of the game. So Winnipeg's got a bit of an issue on their hands. Hellebuck is not good in St. Louis. In fact, he's terrible in St. Louis. So the Blues fans are going to be all over him from the get-go.
We want Connor.
Yeah, and we'll see if they can get a win and send this thing back to Winnipeg on Sunday.
Yeah. I don't claim to know enough about hockey to explain it, but they just crushed them when they were here, it seemed like, and then suddenly they're mystified. Same teams.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think that you're right. A game seven, all bets are off, but they got to figure out something if it gets back up to Winnipeg.
I think the Blues will win tomorrow and get it to Winnipeg. Oh, and then game seven, I mean, you do have to find a way to get on the board early, not let them jump you. But the Blues answered right away, Kim. I mean, they got them right away. They just, in the second period, had no chance. I mean, the Blues had one shot at one point in the second period. I'm looking up, I'm like, they have one shot this entire period?
Wow.
Well, come on.
But to the Blues' credit, though, Winnipeg is overall the better team, right? And so the fact that the Blues are keeping up does speak to how great the Blues are as a team.
Winnipeg's a really good team. Yeah. They were the President's Trophy winners. However, the best team in hockey since February, when the Four Nations faceoff, has been the Blues.
Yep.
They have been the best team in the NHL. And everybody's been talking about how well they play together. Even without Dylan Holloway, who is hurt, Tyler Tucker's now hurt, but Holloway hasn't played in the postseason. And I don't expect him to. They've looked great. I mean, last night was their worst game of the series. They just did not have it. You know, they lose the game 5-3. They lost the first game 5-3. They lost the second game 2-1, and then they annihilated the Jets twice. So I think the odds are in the Blues' favor for Friday, and then, you know, you just go play game seven and figure it out.
That's true. So I didn't get to see the actual Cards game yesterday. I saw a few of the home run highlights. Did the Reds put a batting a pitching coach out there or something? I mean, who was throwing all those bad pitches?
I mean, you know, the Cardinals just played great twice. They won two games yesterday. The first game they won 6-0. Miles Michaelis was great. Went 5 3 scoreless, set it up for the bullpen, and then it was the ninth inning where the Cardinals hit 3 straight home runs off their reliever Diaz. Incredible. Scott and then Nootbaar and then Wynn, and they won the game 6-0. Then they come out and they have this great prospect, Chase Petty. Reds have a good prospect in Petty, made his major league debut, and the Cardinals just ambushed him. I mean, Wilson Contreras hits a home run in the first, Pedro Páez in the second, and they won that game 9-1. Cardinals look great in both games. They won two road games yesterday. They had two road game wins all year.
Yeah, I know.
Good finish to April for them. Really good. And now another day game for him today.
Did we get to talk to you yet about the draft? Luther Burden going to the Bears. And
love that.
And Brady Cook, was that a surprise that he wasn't drafted, but then he signed with the Jets?
No. Yeah, just he'll have to earn it out there. Yeah. It's, you know, there's a select group of quarterbacks that get drafted, as we saw in Shedeur Sanders. And we did talk about him on Monday, not getting drafted until late. But, yeah, Cook will be, I think, a fun one to watch. Eventually, I think Cook is going to be as successful in life as he is in football. He's just an incredible young man. I think eventually he'll be a leader here in St. Louis in some way. He'll be working here and be a very proud St. Louis. And what a great kid he is. Turned into one heck of a quarterback at Mizzou and did it just sheer determination and hard work. But he has good skill, too. I think he'll be good. And Burden, yeah, get him the ball. I mean, get him the ball. I mean, if the Bears can figure out a way to block for Caleb Williams and let him get the ball to Luther Burden, they're going to be successful. That guy is a worker. Now, you need to get him the ball to keep that guy happy. He's a second rounder for a reason. He's really good. I for those who follow the league closely, Ja'Marr Chase of the Bengals, just strong, sturdy, tough wide receiver. I think that's who Burden is going to become. He looked like an NFL player to me in college. Really did. Yeah.
So did I read where the coach whose kid stole Shedeur Sanders' phone number got fined $350,000 by the league?
It's a very expensive mistake.
Wow.
Yeah, big mistake. Pick up the phone and prank somebody. So, boy, that's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. I know you got to go here in a minute. I was mentioning this to you earlier. We've talked about NIL before, how it's ruining, in my opinion, college sports. My team, the Kentucky Wildcats, have done something unusual here. They've spun off part of their athletic department into like an LLC or something, a limited liability holding company that will unlock new revenue streams. If that works, every university is going to do it.
I think that eventually, I think we talked about it on this show, that you're going to see a billionaire somewhere, I think that's already being discussed, will go buy 51% of an athletic department.
Sam Walton?
And
one of the Walton family?
Maybe I could ask Mark Cuban.
That was who came to my mind.
Kroenke. He's an Indiana alum. Go back. He loves the Hoosiers. Go back to Indiana.
Does he still own part of the Mavs? Was it the Mavs?
He's still part of it, but he doesn't.
He
gave it up. Anyway, I think that's it. 51-49, and you're going to see investors look at that as an opportunity to make money and control what is a behemoth in the making, I think. They do. They do make a ton of money. Okay. But now these players are making money. Everyone's making money, and everyone's watching it, and everyone's gambling on college football. And, you know, so college football is growing very, very quickly, starting to catch the NFL. It'll never fully catch the NFL, but it's emerging. College football is into the number two sport in this country.
That is amazing. Yeah. Hey, I know you got to run, Tom. We appreciate your time.
Always great talking to you guys. How about this Friday night? Cardinals, Battlehawks, Blues, all playing at the same time downtown. Find a parking spot early.
Good luck.
No kidding.
See you guys.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
Speaking of NIL, did we talk about how supposedly Baylor lost its entire roster because everyone went into the transfer portal? Because they're
Kentucky did that happen to them last year. I don't know why
they lost every single player.
John Calipari took a new job at Arkansas. Every single player that he brought there transferred with him to Arkansas.
But that only he brought there. So there were still some players. Baylor's whole roster left.
But if it's an incoming freshman, Kentucky had two incoming freshmen who retained their commitment and came to Kentucky. But they weren't on the roster. I mean, they were new incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
So they lost their entire roster to the transfer portal last year.
Now, how do you rebuild a team
pretty well. We made it to the Sweet 16 this year.
Okay, well, there you go.
And we're having to do the same thing again next year, although we do have like five or six returning players in addition to the transfer. That's why they've ruined college basketball. I loved college basketball when, for two or three years in a row, you got to know these players as you watched them develop. Now they're never there that long. The game has lost something. And I know Tom's saying that college basketball is challenging, the NBA and all this stuff. I want it to go back to the way it was. And the only way they can do that now that the genie's out of the bottle is to immediately cap NIL money so that one school that can afford it can't offer a kid $5 million and the other one can only afford $4 million. So you know where he's going to go. You got to cap that, and you've got to put limits on the transfer portal. That if you transfer, you can do it once, and if you try to leave the second school, you lose a year of eligibility.
You know what would eventually change people's minds on this who are very much in support of NIL would be if the same teams consistently get into the Elite Eight, the Final Four, they're the champion, because it's going to get really, really old when people see the same team winning time and again. If these schools have these massive amounts of money that they're able to offer the players, well, of course, what college player wouldn't want to go there in hopes of raking in millions of dollars while in college?
And the critics out there will say, well, the big blue blood teams have always paid their players. Well, that's nonsense. There are rumors about that, but very little evidence that happened on a regular basis. But people went to higher profile schools before they were getting paid because they were higher profile schools and it raised their chances of getting into the NBA.
Right.
It's quite simple, I think. Maybe there were perks that they got away with, or maybe there weren't, but they've got to fix this. They are ruining the game. All right, we're going to get to in other news when we come back in just a few minutes. Next hour, we'll talk about that Rockwood school embarrassment, quite frankly. And we're going to get to former Senator Jim Talent about 7:20. We'll be right back.
In other news.
Yeah, wow. This video of this guy falling off this wall there in Pittsburgh at PNC Park was pretty shocking. And, you know, you think 21 feet is not really that far. I guess it was the awkward angle. Like I assume that this individual was reaching out to catch a ball and fell and then is now in like critical condition at the emergency department after what happened. So often these are alcohol related. I just had to tell you, I went to a Cincinnati Bengals game years ago with a friend of mine. We'd been pre-gaming a little bit, and we were in the nosebleed seats at the old Riverfront Stadium there where the Bengals used to play, which of course was identical to the old Busch Stadium. And you know how steep those seats were at the very top.
Oh yeah.
And of course, he offers to go get us more beer, and on his way back, he's trying to shuffle down the aisle to get to where I am, and he loses his balance, and he falls forward.
Oh.
And it's 35 degrees outside. He dumps cold beer all over the people in front of us. Fortunately, we were five rows from the front, or I fear he would have gone right over the side of the thing, right?
Wow.
I mean, it's always been a risk in these stadiums. This was clearly a case where somebody was right up against the rail and trying to catch a ball, it looked like, and fell over.
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often,
to be honest.
But hopefully this guy's okay. Like you said, it sounds like he's in critical condition. Hey, did you see this crazy video of 24 people fighting on this cruise ship? Those people have all been banned now. They're on a do not sail list.
For life, right?
For life with Carnival Cruise Lines because they were fighting. They had been docked and they were waiting to go through customs. They don't even really know what started the fight, but everyone starts just going at it. And, you know, of course they break it up. One person ended up getting arrested. But, I mean, really, is this what we've come to?
I've watched these videos. Like there was one at Disney recently. I don't know. I couldn't not watch it. I watched it like three times with these people who got in a fist fight and just kept coming back at each other. And I'm thinking to myself, where was security? Like, I didn't see any security anywhere. So I watched this brawl at the loading area there. And if you've ever been on a cruise, you know the area we're talking about. You walk in, you have all your luggage, and then at the end, when they carry the luggage back off the ship, you have to go through and find your luggage and carry it out of there. There apparently had been a dispute on board between these two groups. And then when they got off, it sparked again somewhere in the luggage area. And now you've ruined everybody's fun.
Is it just people are angry because they're all having to wait in a line to get off the ship?
I don't know.
And they just can't handle it?
Obviously, it shouldn't have been alcohol related at that point because the cruise was over.
I don't know. People may have found a way to continue drinking even when the...
Pounded before you get off.
Yeah. I've never been on a cruise. Yeah.
Sue, are you... I know you're a breakfast fan like I am.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a Cracker Barrel fan? I'm taking that as a no.
Do you know? I've never eaten breakfast there.
You've never eaten there, really?
Oh, Sue.
Oh, my goodness.
So, well, no, I've eaten there for non-breakfast.
Oh, I see.
But breakfast
I
is just the best found meal there.
I think of it as a breakfast place, but I know they serve chicken, fried steak, and all that. They've encountered a controversy because they've modernized Cracker Barrel, and the hardcore Cracker Barrel fans are PO'd.
I bet.
They are put out. So I've got a friend who's a district man, area, no, he's a assistant general manager at a Cracker Barrel near Cincinnati. And I've been to his store many times, and it looks like all the rest of them. I'm watching the new store. Somebody walked through one of the new stores that's been remodeled. All they did was repaint the walls a lighter color. I mean,
No. They did do more than that. They added it almost like a partition-y looking thing, and it looks like it's new flooring. It doesn't. People are angry because it doesn't have that home style, the good old times type look.
General store look.
Yeah. You know, you walk in, you have the gift shop with all the random stuff that somehow you end up buying.
It doesn't look like a Denny's. It's still the same building. All they did was repaint a few things and maybe change the flooring.
I think it looks kind of like Denny's.
What an overreaction. Just get the big breakfast and be happy, right? I mean, you get the big side of pancakes and, it makes me hungry just looking at the inside of a Cracker Barrel.
Promise us you'll go there for breakfast one day.
Cox is really fond of gravy on everything.
Yes,
I am not.
Same.
So what should I order there, Kim?
Like the normal just eggs and sausage or eggs and bacon and fruit.
Okay.
I mean, it's
this a show trip.
I don't love the biscuits and gravy thing either, but Mark's all about that.
We went to Chris at the docket the other day, a week or two ago, and I got an omelet that was smothered in gravy. It was the greatest thing ever. No.
It's a perfectly omelet ruined by gravy.
It was like a slinger at O.T. Hodge without the chili.
No, because that's chili.
I know.
Chili is not bad, but I just don't like gravy on eggs. I understand that.
How'd your stomach feel after that, Mark?
I could put gravy on anything.
Yes, you could. That's why I asked him what I should order.
All right, coming up, we'll get to former Senator Jim Talent. Stay tuned.